join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with what to do with a lump sum.
Let's move on here. So God told me, the Lord told me you have to start chasing your debt. And that's based upon Leviticus 26, 6 and 7. It says, I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. None shall make you afraid. How about nothing shall make you afraid? Some of you are afraid of creditors right now. You're afraid of bills right now. You're afraid that they're going to foreclose on a house. You're afraid that they're going to repossess the car. You're afraid that you're going to go to swipe the credit card and they're going to deny and take the credit card. Come on, nothing shall make you afraid. You're afraid to answer your own call because you got your own phone because you have creditors calling you. Nothing shall make you afraid. He said, I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And here's why I want to see verse 7 here. And for me, this enemy was debt. He said, you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. So for me, that meant I had to face my creditors. I had to call. I had to find what was on my credit report. That's where I started. Okay? I started. There were some debts I had that wasn't on my credit report. But the ones that was on my credit report were most affecting my credit life. So I started with those. And then after I got started dealing with those and worked out things and paid them off and worked out settlement plans and all that kind of thing, the next thing I did, I started paying debts that wasn't on my credit report. I remember a particular doctor's office I called and told them I'm going to pay this debt. They said, who are you? And they looked up. They said, this is like 10 years old. I said, I know. They said, well, it's not even on our records anymore. I said, but I still got it right here. I know it's not paid. And God started honoring me and blessing me and increasing me when I started being a person of integrity regarding handling my money. Okay? Now let me show you something here. Let me see. Is that one more? Now, I'll deal with that later. So we deal with that's dealing with your past. Next thing you deal with lump sum, dealing with your present. Use that lump sum of money to address your current needs. Pay your debt, he told the widow, and live. Living has to do with your current needs. Believe it or not, people, you have to pay your bills. As a believer, you're supposed to pay your bills. Okay? Now, somebody say, some of y'all think the only thing you have to pay is something that has consequences, like they're going to put me out the house, or they're going to shut off the utilities. By the way, let's think about that. If they wouldn't shut off utilities, would you volunteer to pay it? If you could get away with, oh, Jesus, I'm going deep here, y'all. If you could get away without paying your mortgage and you had the money, would you not pay it? Think about that. Because you know what y'all know that is? That's an integrity issue. You pay stuff not because they pressure you. You pay stuff because you said you're going to pay it. That's an integrity issue. Now, I know I'm challenging you. And I'm only challenging you because the Lord had to challenge me on these things. Okay? I remember saying stuff as a young man. What are you going to do, put me in jail? This ain't the Bible days. No, but you owe the money. And you agreed to pay it. You signed a promissory note. You clicked here if you do it online and all that. And the Bible says, I found the word. The Bible says that the wicked borrow and payeth not again. Who borrows and pays and doesn't pay? The wicked. And so that's Psalms 37:21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Can I tell you, when I found that scripture out, I was a young man. I was getting ready to file bankruptcy. I was getting ready to file bankruptcy to get from under the pressure. I wasn't filing bankruptcy to save a house because I didn't own a house. I was trying to file bankruptcy as a quick fix for my past mistakes. And when I got ready to file bankruptcy, I started studying about it, and I studied some Christian information, and I saw that scripture. Proverbs, Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrow and payeth not again. I was just trying not to pay again. Okay? I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation. I was in a position to file bankruptcy, and when I saw that, it didn't line up with the word. I said, I'm not going to do that. And we went through credit counseling, and we worked our way out little by little. And even when I could file bankruptcy, I didn't file bankruptcy. And let me also tell you this from personal experience. Again, I'm old and wiser. I had some young days as a young pastor, too. I can name about five people in the early days of this church as a pastor who, in you know, because I have a heart for people going through financial issues and people who they want to file bankruptcy. And I happen to know a particular attorney who happened to be a Christian attorney who that was her area of law, bankruptcy. And I helped these people. The goal was, we're going to try to save your house. The goal, we're going to try to save your house. And I gave them money and paid their attorney's fees so they could file bankruptcy. Can I tell you, know what happened in each one of those situations? All lost the house. Because unless you change on the inside, unless you change your mind and change how you think, you will be in the same financial position. They all lost the house anyway. Okay, let's think about this. So, I'm not a bankruptcy attorney, but you got chapter 7, chapter 10, chapter 11, whatever it is. But the primary thing that they do is reorganize. So they reorganize it. So if you say, I can't pay $500 a month, and now you're 4 months behind. So now you owe $2,000, $2,500, and they say you're going to take your house, and you file for bankruptcy so they can reorganize it for you. And so now, but now, instead of owing $500, now you owe $700. But now we're up to date, but now you just pay $700 a month. Well, come on, you. Unless something drastically changed in your finances and your thinking, if you can pay $500 a month, how are you going to pay $700 a month? See, sometimes we jump out the frying pan into the fire, call ourselves making wise decisions, and know what we're trying to do, we're trying to just get out of the crisis. And sometimes crisis causes you to make bad decisions. So you do a quick fix, but it's not a permanent fix. And you make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. That's why at the end of the day, in all these situations, we got to seek God and we need to hear God and follow God's ways. So you do have to pay your bills and take care of your needs. If you are a grown, able person, you're supposed to pay your own bills and take care of your own needs. Okay? And for the Christian, current needs is not supposed to be an issue for us. Let me say it again. If you are, you know, you are reasonably, gainfully employed, and if you're managing your money properly, current needs, what needs? You need to eat. You need a roof over your head. Okay, you need to eat. And if you live here in South Carolina, in rural areas like this, you need a car. When you live down here in places like we live here in South Carolina and some of these more rural areas where they don't have mass transportation the way you have in cities like New York City and Detroit and even Jersey City where I came from, you need a car. So a car is not a luxury. You need a car down here, okay? And so those are basic needs. And for the Christian who's managing our finances, needs is not supposed to be an issue. Matthew 6, 31 and 32 talks about needs. Therefore, take no thought. Say, stop thinking about, stop worrying about, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherein shall we be clothed? After all these things, the Gentiles, those who don't have a covenant with God, those who don't live by God's word, those who are not tithers. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He said, God already knows what you need, so just do things God's way, and your needs will be supplied. But if you're not managing your money, you're not doing things God's way. If you're wasting money, you're not doing things God's way. If you are deliberately avoiding paying your bills, you are not doing things God's way. So that's not seeking first the kingdom of God. The Message translation says this. It says, people who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Glory to God. He said, come on, serve God and live by the principles of his word. Now, when I was coming along as a young Christian in the traditional, particularly traditional Pentecostal church, the way they would teach the scripture like this, that means live holy. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right. Live holy. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't commit adultery. Don't fornicate. And we shouldn't do any of those things. But can I tell you, living godly is not just about not doing whatever the big 10 is or whatever the big 3 sins that you can think of. Living godly also has to do with how we manage our money. Yes. That's part of godliness. If the wicked borrow and pay not again, then the righteous borrow and pays it. Are you listening to me? So watch this. Jesus. So you can be living holy and you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't chew and you don't run with those who do. And you might even be tithing, but you don't manage your money. You might be tithing, you still don't manage the 90. And you're always in need. And you have a job that can meet your needs. But you're always in need. Are you perhaps mismanaging that money in a way that your current needs are not met? I'm telling you again, basic needs are not supposed to be a thing in the Christian's life. With my own children, now I will help them. I'll help them get ahead. I'll help them take a major move, start a business, buy a house. But once they get grown, I'm not buying your groceries every week. And I'm not paying your rent every month as a grown person who's ably employed. Why? Because they have to learn how to manage their money in a way that their basic needs are met. Now, Pastor, you being insensitive to poor people? No, I'm not. And if you are poor as a Christian, then we have to look at what can I do or what am I doing that can not put myself in this situation. Now, you can't be talking about you poor and you going around with Louis Vuitton bags. You can't talk about you poor and you driving a Mercedes that needs premium gas, even if it is an old one. Why are you putting yourself in a position to live above your means? And many times, some of us, I'm not talking about you because I know what it is, and I'm talking about my own experience. I know what it is not to have. I know what it is to not be able to keep up with how many children you have. But even in some of those situations, you have to go back and retrace your steps and say, well, now what did I do? How did I put myself in this situation? Amen. Sometimes, now how did I put myself in this situation? Because you got to make up your mind, I will be poor no more. Since that's not the will of God. The Bible says he raises up the poor out of the dunghill and sets him among princes. So it's not the will of God, even if I start in poor and start in poverty, to stay there. That's not the will of God. If I work the principle of God's word, I can get out of poverty. Poverty and being poor is not supposed to be a constant state in the life of a Christian. Otherwise, God's word is a lie. Because his word says he'll supply all of our needs. His word says I'm not supposed to have to worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to put on. So either I'm lying or God's lying. And I believe God already told us he's not a liar. And he wasn't lying when he said he ain't a liar. So you dealing with your present. Deal with your past. Take that lump sum. Deal with your present. Waste and mismanagement will cause present needs to be unmet. Waste and mismanagement will cause present needs to be unmet. Proverbs 21 and 20, profound scripture here. It said, there's treasure to be desired and all in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. He said, a wise man is going to have something. He said, but a foolish person is going to spend up all he has. There's treasure. There are possessions. There are things of value and oil in the house or the dwelling or the life of a wise person. Said, but a fool never has anything to show for it. Listen to me. If you make a decent income, a decent salary, okay, and some of you know what I mean by that, and you know who I'm talking to, what do you have to show for it? And I don't mean a car that you're still paying on. And I don't mean luxury items that you're still paying on, that you still have. What do you have to show for it that has added value to your life and not just a lifestyle? Do you have assets? Do you have something you can pass on to your children's children? What do you have to show for it beyond just your lifestyle of living? Okay? Because there's treasure to be desired, but a fool will spend it up. Luke 15, 13 and 14. Y'all know I always talk about this scripture. Everybody talks about the prodigal son and how he sinned and how he spent his money on prostitutes and living, wild living and all that. And he did do all that. But this is not just a scripture about debauchery and about living in sin. This is a scripture about somebody who mismanaged the money that he had. Don't lose that. Don't lose the other part either. But also, I mean, get all out of all this scripture what we should be getting. Luke 15, the younger son said, give me the goods that belong to me. And he went. Let's pick up here in Luke 15, verse 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he did what? Wasted all his money in wild living. Are you wasting your money on wild living? He said, and about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. And don't miss this. Don't just read verse 14 by itself. That money ran out and a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve, or he began to be in want. You have to ask the question, why? If you were in want, ask why. I mean, first thing, look at yourself, look at your own decisions, look at how you're managing money. You need more money or do you need more wisdom? Or will you just be a bigger fool with more money? Because until I had the wisdom of God, I would have gotten more money and been a bigger fool. You all heard this before. It's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. So we've all heard about millionaires and multimillionaires who have nothing and end up filing bankruptcy. Obviously, money was the issue. Wisdom was the issue. That's why the Bible said wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Okay? So this younger son, he wasted his money. I want you to see this. If he did not waste his money on wild living, let me add another practical application of wild living. For some of us, wild living, it may not be with prostitutes, going to a strip club and spending all our money drinking and doing debaucherous things. Wild living could be living above your means. Wild living could be buying designer stuff before it's time. Wild living could be running after every sale. My wife and I were someplace recently. I suppose remember her name. I think her name was Fran. And who said something. We were someplace and it was in January. And so they have all the Christmas stuff. You know, and we decorate. We usually add stuff every year for our house for Christmas. So it's January. They had all the Christmas stuff 40-50% off. And we would look at this. She said, that's 40% off. She said, you can't go wrong with that. 40% off. See, that's 40% off. And I said, yeah. I said, but no, we're not getting that. She kept saying, 40% off. I said, keep adding all those 40% off, so you're going to go broke. And she said to me, she said, you know, that's true. Because my father always said, he said, you can go broke trying to save money. Man, that thing struck me. Now, it's not talking about save money like putting money aside. Save money because it's 40% off. Oh, I only got this because it was 40% off. But you did not have the 60% that day to pay. And so you can go broke running after sales while living. There's a time just not to buy, period. Oh, this is so good. You have to know when it's your saving season, when is your paying season, when is your saving season, and when is your spending season. There's a scripture, okay? Now, I'm taking it out of context, but it's a good way to remember this point. I'm taking it out of context, but it's a good way to remember this, okay? And it's the book, it's in Job, okay? Job 36:11. It says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in treasures, in pleasures rather. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. How about this? If you obey and serve him, they shall spend. It's going to come a time you shall spend. Maybe today is not the time though. But if you keep obeying him and you keep serving him, you shall spend. Somebody needs to receive that right now. Say, my spending day is coming. Because right now, where you are right now, you just need to be in the paying season or the paying off season. Or you just need to save right now for emergencies and not just have yourself in crisis. Now may not be your spending season. I remember that's how we learned to live by faith, because we realized this is not a spending season for us. So I don't care what it was. We said, we got to believe God. We're going to believe God for favor. God going to give us this supernaturally. Somebody going to bless us, you know. I was sharing this. Some of y'all saw that I blessed my son with a truck for Christmas. And it looked real good, but wasn't even a brand new truck, okay? But I blessed him with a truck for Christmas. Well, one day in October, I had a joint staff meeting with our staff the first Monday of the month. First Tuesday of the month, we all get together regularly. Other than that, I get with my direct reports, but all of us, the whole staff, got to get together. And I said, I want you to verbalize something you believe in God for. I said, say it, put it in, speak it, put it into the atmosphere. Well, my son happened to mention, he said, well, you know, I'm believing God. You know, we got one vehicle right now, and I got another child right now, and I'm believing God for another vehicle. Well, the Lord was already dealing with me about getting him a vehicle. And that just confirmed what God spoke to me, okay? He hadn't gotten a vehicle. I hadn't bought him a vehicle since he was probably like 18 or 17. Been a long time, okay? But the Lord dealt with me. But I said, put it into the atmosphere. Sometimes you just need to put into the atmosphere the things you're believing God for. And so when he spoke that, the Lord confirmed that to me. He said, yeah, you need to go ahead and do that. On the other hand, I heard years ago, many of us, we know Charles Stanley. What's his ministry called? Not Insight for Living, that's Chuck Swindoll. But many of us, we know Charles Stanley, pastor of First Baptist in Atlanta. No, not Andy Stanley. That's millennial for you. That's millennial for you who don't even know the daddy, know the son. Andy Stanley. No, his daddy is Charles Stanley. Before there was an Andy Stanley, there was a Charles Stanley. And his ministry is called In Touch. And I remember listening many years ago to Pastor Stanley, who said his wife, the Lord was dealing with them about buying a vehicle for someone. And they were trying to figure out, okay, what type of vehicle they were going to buy for this person and how much they were going to pay for it. And all this, and how they're going to present it to him. And before they could do it, the person came and said, oh, we went out and bought a new car, and our payments are only such and such and such and such. And God had been dealing with him about buying him a vehicle. And in the context of what he was teaching about believing God to meet our need rather than just going in debt. And God was dealing with him, and he said his wife, they never said anything because they made their own decision about how they're going. Sometimes God just wants us, if this is not your spending season, trust God. He will supply all of your needs. This is not my spending. Come on, you got to know when it's, even if you have good credit, this is not the time. I don't need another bill. I don't need to add another thing on this credit card. I don't need another payment. And because you will go to place and they will try to show you how you can squeeze it in. And you will squeeze it in and squeeze the life out of yourself and out of your finance. And you'll definitely squeeze the tithe out. Why is it you can't tithe? Especially if the tithe is coming off first. Or have you squeezed the tithe out by adding payments and keep adding this and adding that? All right? So we have to manage our money. Let me say this now. I want to move on to the third one and hopefully finish it. We got to deal with your current and deal with your own needs. I heard someone say that this is profound. If I had prepared my media people, they would have put the statement up. But I want you to write it down and never forget it. You can't buy your wants and beg your needs. You can't buy your wants and beg your needs. I have seen people do this. You can't pull up to the church in a Mercedes you're still making payments on, talking about you need help with your rent. You can't pull up to the church in your new lease car that you're paying $500 or $700 a month, whatever the case may be, talking about you need help with groceries. You can't buy your wants and then beg your needs. People are more likely to help you with your wants and your desires if they see that you are managing and you're taking care of your needs. That's a profound statement. You can't buy your wants and beg your needs.
There's a right way to handle your finances and a wrong way. For many, coming into financial gain only leads to more problems. In this informative series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us what to do when we come into a lump sum of money. You can order this series by calling 877-798-5433 or go online to www.rightdirection.info and visit our online bookstore. Ask for What to Do with a Lump Sum. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.